Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Morning and top of the morning to all our listeners. Yes, you are welcome to another lovely day. We believe this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and we're glad. Father, we thank you for the privilege of seeing another day. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the breath that is within each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, because in you we live, we move, and have our being. We thank you, Lord, for the journey in the year 2025. Thus far, you have helped us, and we are confident that you will see us through. And every part of our journey that is yet to be stepped into, we commit unto you, knowing that you are the one that orders the step of the righteous. And we pray that that which we commit to you, Lord, you will see us through. You will take us to the very end. And regardless of the challenges, we are confident that you who began this work, this journey, this intention of your heart with us, will see us through in the name of Jesus. Lovely people, we just thank God for another day. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his loving kindness. The Bible makes us to understand of his mercy, we're not consumed. And so we thank him for his mercy that endured forever. Thank him for his faithfulness towards each and every one of us. I am particularly particularly grateful for his long suffering and patience with each of us, even as we journey, as we grow, as we mature and come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus, which is the expectation the Lord has for us. I pray that nothing will hinder us, nothing will hold us back, and that there'll be an able grace to take us through every opposition. I want to remember each and every one of us in our families, all our loved ones, those connected and rooted to us in one way, shape or form. I pray that the hand of the Lord will rest upon them. I pray that the favor of the Lord will go before them. I pray that the Lord will grant them the desires of their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, unto you who answers and hears the cries of your people, I pray you build the strength from strength to strength, from glory to glory, for everyone that is looking unto Jesus, everyone that is focused on you, everyone that has set their gaze upon you. Lord, I pray that that which comes by beholding you, says as we behold him, we become like him. Lord, every attribute that you have for your people that is ahead of them, that is yet to be made manifest, I pray they step into greatness. I pray they step into great opportunities, and I pray that you crown each and every one of them with gifts that are far beyond their human understanding or comprehension. The Bible says you fill our mouth with good things. Lord, may that be so for each and every one of our listeners. We want to remember those who, for one reason or the other, may not be with us today. Lord, we ask that wherever they are, whatever their desire and expectation is, Lord, meet them also at the point of their need. We ask this and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another Sunday edition of Morning Dew here on Radio Africana. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. And so, Father, we thank you for how far we've come in the year 2025. Thank you, Lord, for the last few seasons, sessions we've been looking at, the milestone. Very interesting. It's pretty long, but very interesting, part of our journey where we reflect, where we consider, where we measure, our progress, make sure we're still on track, make sure we're still aligned, and we have to do this consistently. So we have been looking at the life of the disciples, and what it was that they went through. And remember, we started our very important scripture, key scripture in Luke chapter 24, where we are looking at their journeying on the road to Emmaus and the very interesting encounters they had with the Lord. While looking at their journey, we went to find from the Gospels, how they have come to this point in their journey. And it's very significant because the documentation in Luke chapter 24 is about, the death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly, how he, spends time. So we know that from the death, crucifixion, the death, burial and resurrection, to the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit, was a total of 50 days. So from the time we're looking here, this is just a day before his ascension, which is documented precisely in Luke chapter 24, and reading from verse 49, just reading part of what he was saying. Well, let's look at 46. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached," right, "in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high." And verse 50 says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem in great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and believing and blessing God." Amen. So that's Luke chapter 22. We've just looked at verses 46 to 53, our key verse really for today. And so we, recognize this important part of their journey. And it's so, when we look at the time of the year and where we are in this spiritual calendar, you know, observing the ascension, okay, and coming into Pentecost, which is where we're at, is really what is documented here. But we've been examining the process and the milestone. For their disciples, they were still carrying on their journey. For Jesus, he had come to the end of his journey, terminated, you know, rounding up with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then ultimately, like I've just read now, we see that after he had given them instructions to tarry, to wait in Jerusalem till they be endued with power. And so that was the Pentecost. So once again, from the death, burial, you know, the death is to the manifestation of the presence of the Spirit, 50 days. And he spent 40 days literally with them before this particular day when he was, you know, lifted up from the earth while he was praying for them. And so it's 10 days that they now had to follow the instruction. And we have been looking at their path, you know, we've been seeing the fact that he was a great teacher, you know. We recognize the disciples had a great teacher who was quite skilled in identifying where spiritually his audience were and was able to adjust his teaching to suit diverse audience. So we talked about that last week, and was consistently, you know, ensuring that they were learning and coming to a place of understanding. And this is something the Lord is very passionate about. And he had times in the journey where their faith and knowledge were tested. So it wasn't just about imparting head knowledge, but their faith, their knowledge was being tested, you know. And so the scripture talks about different places where he sent them out two by two, and they came back and they reported their experiences at different times, you know. And some other time they came and they were not able to, you know, achieve the desired outcome that they anticipated on the field, you know. And he had to teach them that, well, these particular, you know, challenges come out by prayer and fasting. So basically he had a lot of practical hands-on sessions with them. And carefully, when we study carefully the Gospels through, you know, to the book of Acts, it demonstrates this progression. So that's why I've been looking at their journey, looking at this progression, because if we're going to take delivery like they did of the power of God and the manifestation and become vessels and witnesses of that power, of that authority in our lives and through our world, we must understand this essential journey. Obviously, he's teaching them, and you can imagine their modules in the kingdom, which include a few of the following I want to mention. So there are things they had to know. Remember, he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He was going to develop them. So there was what they were becoming, there was what he was going to make them. And remember, it says, as we behold him, we become like him. So their interaction and relating with him is what we have been studying. It's a journey, you know. And there are a lot of things they had to learn as modules in the school of the Spirit. They didn't have to understand to themselves, they need to know themselves, know their condition, you know. That's why I said he was sensitive even to the state spiritually of his audience. So anyone he was teaching, he knew where they were at. The Bible says he knew the heart of men. They had to know who they are in Christ, okay? So this is something that they were coming even to a greater understanding. And of course, that journey will take them into knowing Christ, you know. Philippians chapter 3, I think verse 10 talks about that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering, okay? You know, so there is a coming to know him, but it's like we looked at it, there's head knowledge, there's things you're learning, knowledge, there's experiences you are gaining, there's authority, there's graces and gifts given to you. So this is a really massive school of the Spirit, you know. They had to know whose they were, that they are not themselves, you know, they belong to Christ, you know, and God is their source, their sufficiency. Of course, they had to be taught extensively to know the enemy, because there's warfare. From the day we accept Jesus Christ, we come into a relationship, we are born into, whether you are aware of it or not, you are in warfare. So the earlier you understand the enemy, the earlier you understand what's available for you in that warfare, you know. So he says, we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there are entities and spiritual beings that we are constantly dealing with from the day we make our decision. So they had to know, you know, that they have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? What does that entail? What has God already given to you? He says he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So this knowledge and relationship with Christ, you can see why we started those essential modules of what they needed to know, is as they journeyed with the Word, okay, as they, you know, got into a deeper relationship. Remember, it's the logos, the word. The Bible said the letter killeth is the spirit that gives life. And the only way I can explain that is like the seed. The seed comes, and just looking at the seed doesn't look like anything, doesn't have any potential, but buried within that seed is the purpose, the intent for which the seed was sent, is the purpose and intent for which the word was sent. So when you just, you know, come in contact with the word, the logos of the word, it's killed. The Bible makes us the letter kill it, but it's the spirit within that gives life. So the seed has to reach its destination of a good ground in a transformed heart for it to bring forth that which is embedded with it. The Bible says, except a grain of corn fall to the ground and die. So there's a state where it's of no use, it's dead. But that's that process of dying, you know, to its old, you know, status, or, you know, state, is what will bring forth and trigger that which is within to find expression. And so it's important that Christ died, you know, was buried, and on the strength of that, there's a new form of the living word, you know, the resurrected form, the one that's able to give life, you know, the one that's able to, you know, forgive sins, the one that was able to meet the satisfy the requirements of the Father, you know, that we come into. So there's all of this great knowledge that they had to go through in their journey, you know, so known their inheritance. Now, I had to know also the principles and the laws and the mysteries of the kingdom. The Bible makes us understand that's the Father's will. We saw that also in the same Luke 24, when we saw him trying to explain through the parable method to the multitude what this parable of the sower, you know, was about. But because they were not, you know, in that very close proximity, you know, with Christ in their relationship, then certain things were not given to them. So every disciple will have to know, you know, what was given. It says in verse Luke chapter 24, I'll read again, verse 11, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Okay, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, okay, and stooped down and saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. This is verse 12. All right, so this is back, going back to what happened at the beginning of their journey, you know, and the fact that the disciples went there to check for themselves to see if these things were true, you know. But we've seen several times, I think it was in Mark chapter 4, yes, I'm mixing up Mark chapter 4, where he spoke to the audience, you know, the multitude, and then when he got to 11 and 12, that was Mark chapter 4, 11 and 12, that he begins to click, it is given to you to understand, to come to a deeper understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. So there are principles, there are laws that govern activity within the kingdom. So these will still form part of their curriculum and their learning. Now we also need to know, like I said, there's a warfare, you know, we're all calling that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but Bible says they are mighty through God. So we're developing and cultivating weapons for our warfare, okay? And particularly, and I need to just make sure I mention, this is so important, developing and cultivating eyes that see and ears that hear and a transformed heart that understands. The carnal man on his own, without an interface, without encountering the Lord Jesus Christ, without being divinely helped or enabled, cannot understand spiritual things. So there's senses that we have, our eyes to see physically and to be able to relate to the physical world, our ears to hear and eyes to see in the physical. But to be empowered, you know, to see, to cultivate deeper eyes, you know, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that see and hear into the realm of the spirit, we need to have a transformed heart, you know. So this is the agency of the Word of God, which is a change agent working in the life of the disciples. So we're studying this whole process, you know. We see also the encounters they have with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we see that in this spiritual realm, there are also other spirits mysteries that we walk alongside, the spirit of wisdom that brings and reveals the deep understanding of the deep mysteries, and the spirit of revelation that brings about revelation and insight into some of these things that we are trying to, you know, get an understanding from. It's a very, you know, complex, you know, journey, complex learning, but we thank God that we have the great teacher. And he was quite conversant of their limitation, you know, he was very, very conversant of their limitations, and he mentioned to them that there are many things he wanted to teach them. We have this documented in, I think it's John chapter 14 and 16. Many things he wanted to explain to them, but at the time they had not been matured to be able to understand. This is why we talk about going through that process. And he said not to worry, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know, so they went through this process. It's documented for our learning, so that we with hindsight can look back and learn the processes that they went through and be able to glean something from all that this gentleman, you know, really had to do in the school of the Spirit, you know. And the vital importance of the agents or agency of change, the agent of change and transformation, and that is the Word of God. So how do we, you know, through meditation, through study, Bible says study to show yourself approved, you know, unto God. Your approval and your standard is not to any man. You're studying to show yourself. It's like you trying to go for an interview. Are you competent? Can you be approved by those that are interviewing? Are you competent enough to stay in that position, to take the responsibilities and to deliver the desired outcome? So it is with our Christian life. So we have to become people who understand rightly dividing, rightly utilizing the Word of truth, knowing the difference between the letter and the spirit, how to engage, how to apply ourselves, so that we can take the necessary downloads, we can grasp and have some understanding of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what is being downloaded and communicated to us through a transformed heart. You know, of course, there's the renewal of the mind. So we go through this very interesting process, but the Lord by His Spirit is taking control. The Holy Spirit is helping us. He has the interesting ministry of guiding us into all truth, of bringing things to remembrance, of instructing us in righteousness. So remember, He says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But it's by His Spirit that we're instructed in living this righteous life. And the Lord will help each and every one of us as we knuckle down to do our own model in the name of Jesus. So we have other things that we, you know, have to pay attention to in our transformation, and so important, you learn disciplines, you know. So where you've been nonchalant, you're not taking responsibility in terms of prayer time, in terms of your study time, all of those kind of things, they have to be disciplined. It's not a frivolous, you know, when you feel like, when it's convenient for you, no, you know. But Bible says things like pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You must be able to pray consistently. Whatever form of prayer you're using, you want to make sure consistently you are in an attitude of prayer. So one of the things you will find, and the disciplines that are highlighted very early in the life of the disciples, and Jesus, He was an example to them. He woke up early in the morning several times to go and pray. That was His mode of operation. And so they that were learning from Him at another time, because they had observed His mode of operation, they asked Him, Master, would you teach us how to pray? Because they then recognized there was something about that discipline, there was something about that lifestyle that was able to produce, ensure that there was a consistency in the proofs in the life of Jesus. And so if we are going to be agents that the Lord will use, if we're going to be witnesses unto Him in our world, if His power and authority is going to find expressions in us and through us to our world, then we too must not only know or have a knowledge or experience of, but we must yield ourselves to these disciplines, so that that which needs to be developed and cultivated in us, as I mentioned earlier, eyes to see, ears to hear, spiritual capacity, you know, other spiritual senses to be able to navigate, you know, then if we're patient, that's very important. If let patience have its perfect work, the Bible talks about those who through patience inherited the promise. So that's why we're studying all of these. There is a process clearly demarcated, which we've tried to break down in previous sessions, you know, of our teachings, and also in this bit on milestones, so that we understand what it is expected of anyone that is going to, you know, come to that same anticipation of the same outcome that the disciples evidently caught. Please note the word caught. It's different from what they were taught. So in the physical world, there are things that you are taught. In the spiritual world, there are things that you catch. You know, it's a different way of engaging with the truth and interacting with those spiritual capacity and insight. We'll take a break now and we'll come back and then we'll look at a few more things that are important in the modules that the disciples were learning in the school of the Spirit, so that we can glean and relate it back to where we are, the season we're in now, where we're observing the Ascension and Pentecost. See you after the break.
Great is
Morning, you're welcome. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. And so we're continuing where we left off. This morning we're looking again into milestones, particularly as it is documented in Luke chapter 24 and the season we are in the Christian calendar at the moment, the ascension, you know, that's Jesus, the burial, death, burial and resurrection of Jesus, and how that moves on to 50 days to the ascension, and how that's marked with the, you know, promise of the Father, where the disciples had been instructed to go and tarry and wait into Jerusalem until they be endued with power. We read that in Luke chapter 24. Very interesting. So we're learning the journey, we're learning the milestones, and when you look critically at details within the journey of the disciples, we talked about them having a great teacher, and there were many things they had to learn. We just looked a few minutes ago at some of the modules, you know, and I did mention earlier Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, and I just want to read that scripture. So Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, right? If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So he had a mission. He had an assignment, and that was to redeem mankind. And there's a path that he has, you know, set before us. And everyone that will, you know, follow that path, you know, as instructed, then the promise of the Father will be that which they can take delivery of. So we talked about the many things that, you know, they had to learn concerning knowledge in the kingdom. The kingdom is not eats and meat, or how they call it, about the Bible put down. It's not drinking and eating, but it's the power and demonstration of that power of the kingdom. So you must, you know, really knuckle down to your journey. We talked about discipline, we talked about means of grace. You know, nobody can go through this journey in their own power or by their own might. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And so we want to rely, trusting in the Lord, trusting in the process. That's why we're taking so much time to study the steps that the disciples went through to be able to take delivery of the power and authority that is demonstrated clearly in the book of Acts. When we journey through that study from the Gospels, following their journey, following the instruction given to them by their great teacher, and then them tarrying till they took delivery. And so when every time we're celebrating Pentecost, we're celebrating, you know, the ascension, you know, and the confirmation of that promise, it's something that's a promise to everyone that believes. And so if we will do our own due diligence and follow the same path, the Holy Spirit is there. He continues teaching. He continues to reveal truths. He is the one that instructs us in righteousness. And I pray that as many as will make the effort from a sincere heart, that the Lord will take you to your destination. So we talked about the vital importance of the Word as a change agent. God uses His Word to change and to transform men. You know, He said, without the Word was nothing made that was made. First John chapter 1, verse 3, thereabout. Now, along the studying, there are other expressions to learn to pray. They learn the different types of prayer. We learn, like I said, the disciples at some point were instructed by the master how to pray. So that was part of the things they were learning. After he had gone, you see the early church in praise and worship, okay? And these are means or channels of connecting, okay, that need to be developed. I'll take that slowly. Through prayer, you know, we're able, praise and worship, we're able to make that divine connection with our Maker, the one who is our source and our sufficiency, the one who through his word, the words that are released life, okay, their spirit and life. And so we want to not just take delivery one time, but we want to make sure we're connected, we have an open heavens. And so prayer praise and worship are means and channels for connectivity, so that, you know, the meditation is also a means of sustaining the flow of this life. So these are disciplines and lifestyle, you know, habits that must be cultivated. Prayer is very powerful, you know, and there are seasons in our lives when we go through very challenging times in the journey. And what we are learning, and very importantly, is the just shall live by faith. I did say that the things they are learning, they not only had head knowledge, but they had practical hands-on sessions to test their knowledge, to test their faith. Each and every child that goes through this journey will experience the same things. You know, it's coming into an experiential knowledge, not only of the personality that is following us, that has delivered us, that has made this channel available to us, but also to you know, utilize those graces that have been given to us. So prayer is very powerful, and there are seasons in our lives where, in a longer journey, when things may, you know, be bent out of shape, they're not going as you planned, and it looks like everything is dark, you might not even be hearing anything. We must ensure those trial times, those seasons, those times in the valley, that we are not reacting in an inappropriate manner. Okay, there's an appropriate way we must react as children of faith, and so we pray that we don't react inappropriately by folding our arms, you know, when there seems to be darkness or challenges or we're overwhelmed. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And so that's why we read Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 here. It says, that I may know him. Every child of God, every disciple, that's an ongoing desire. That should be an ongoing cry of the heart, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The same power and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available to everyone as believe, that we may come to know him and that power. Amen. You know, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You know, that word confirmed, that means there's a pattern that he has set. And so if we are on that track, on that path, following that pattern, you know, I think it's Romans chapter 8, 29 to 31 says, for whom he did foreknow. So God has known every one of us even before we appeared on this side of eternity. Bible says, for before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you. So he says, everyone that he has foreknown and ordained, okay, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he predestined. So even your destination, even the journey that you're on, God has it in mind. It's been part of his expectation that you will come to a place where you receive, you know, and come to an encounter with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you know, the knowledge of that personality, and that you will grow in experiential knowledge of that personality, the living word. You know, and that as you mature, said, for whom he did foreknow, he predestined that they be conformed, okay, to the pattern, to the lifestyle of Jesus. So we see here again in that same Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of suffering, being conformed to his death, so that we go through the same process. And so if we're going through the same process, if he died, he was buried, and he resurrected, and he's alive forevermore, then you know that if you go through that process, everything that needs to die in your life, like the seed that must die, it will spring forth in a new format to give expression to the very life of God that you have encountered through that process, in Jesus' name. And so the examples of the disciples which were studying is very pivotal, you know, and the more you take time to journey in the understanding of what has been revealed, in the understanding of how to not just have head knowledge or have an understanding, but how to apply that which you have gained experientially in the spirit and go out there into your world, just like the disciples did, two by two. They went to minister. They ministered to different types of people, different crowds of people in different situations. You also have that same grace upon your life. And I pray that you will be those that will give expression, you know, that the Lord can use in our world. It's important here to mention that some of the disciplines like prayer, like studying, meditating, there's a lot about discipline, consistency, and the results we expect come by consistency. It's not willy-nilly. No. You have to be consistent. You have to put, he says, whoever puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of following him. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So lovely people, as we reflect, you know, on these important things, we're conforming to his death, okay? If by any means, okay, we attain the resurrection from the dead, not that he has attained that status, but is already perfected. He's pressing on. We must press in. There is an expected end, and the Lord will take you to that expected end in Jesus' name. So it's very important that we're looking holistically at this journey of the disciples and how it relates to the handover. So the teacher is coming to an end. He has taught them for a long set of 3 years, I believe it was, yeah. And then he's rounding up now, which we see documented here, and he gives them the final instruction. If we study further after the ascension, we will see that they did take delivery of the power of the Holy Ghost. They took delivery of the promise of the Father. And like he mentioned, many things I want to teach you. On that day, the Holy Spirit came with power, and cloaks of fire rested upon each one of them. And so each one of them, for having gone through the process, took delivery of that power. I pray that as you go through your own process, the Lord will meet you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will empower you. The Lord will cause you to be a sign and a wonder to your world, to carry an anointing and a grace, not just for yourself and your family, but for your community and for wherever the Lord has assigned you. And I pray that you will fulfill your purpose in Jesus' name. So we said, you know, we've talked here that I might know him, and, you know, Daniel 11:32 saying that those that know their God, because you've been through this process, because you've been equipped, you've been enabled, you've been studious, you've been meditating, and you've had this ongoing conversation, that's what it is, this communion with the Spirit of the living God, you will come to be those that will be strong in him, strong in the knowledge, strong in the power of his mind, and be able to do exploits. The kingdom is not meat and drink, no sir, it's also in the demonstration of power. And I want to encourage everyone to press in, to take delivery, join a fellowship, make sure you are on your journey. Listen, we're in the end times. There are still moves of the Spirit. How do we know? When you look at Apostle Paul, I'm jumping the gun a bit because I love really love to study his own milestone. But when you look at the Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about the revelation that he was given, and he documented that he that too was not exposed to the generations before him. Let me see if I can find that. I think that's very important, so that I just communicate that in a few minutes that we have. Right, so Ephesians chapter 3, I just want to read from verses maybe 1 to 5. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the indispensation of grace," okay? "Dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." So he recognized that there was a dispensation of grace given to him for his assignment to the Gentiles. Okay, how that? By revelation. Can you see revelation again? He made known to me the mystery. We've been the exact things we've been talking about. He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. So Paul was able to document some of his encounters, some of his journey, the things he had learned. He says, "By which you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So he acknowledged here that he came into an understanding of certain mysteries of the kingdom, all right, given for a dispensation, a particular time. It says, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men," okay, "as it is now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." And I'll stop there. Now, this that Apostle Paul has mentioned here is so important, because God's will, God's map, God's plan, you know, for the kingdom is being unfolded. It's a continuous conversation. It's a continuous, you know, interaction between humanity and God to give expression to the will of God. And so the Apostle Paul was saying, in his dispensation, there was a grace given to him to understand the mysteries pertaining to how he was going to minister to the Gentiles. And so he took delivery of that. It really spearheaded his ministry to the Gentiles and the understanding that he had. And his is a remarkable journey that is worth studying as well. But I'm saying all of this to say this: we as a generation, where we are today, we are in the end time. So there's still the unveiling of certain mysteries. There's still the unveiling of certain graces. There's still the unveiling of certain anointings for this dispensation. But lovely people, hear me and hear me well. If you are not studious, if you are not connected, if you are not in the trenches, if you are not praying and praising and worshiping, maintaining your connectivity, meditating, studying consistently, you will not have the spiritual capacity and your spiritual senses exercise to discern the blowing of the trumpet, to discern the promptings of the Spirit, to discern what you ought to be doing at this time. The Bible talks about the sons of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons, and they knew what Israel ought to do. I pray for you, I pray for your family, and I pray for your generation. You will not miss your timing. You will not miss the promptings of the Spirit. Your ears will be open to hear that voice leading you to the left or the right in this season. Is so critical, not because of you, but for many souls that have not come to the kingdom, for many that need leadership, for many that need to hear you, many that need to hear your testimony, many that need to be taught by you, many that need to look to you as an example so that they can find their way and journey in the Spirit. They have to have ears that they can hear and eyes that you can see. So once your faculties are developed and you have gone through the agency, the change agent, which is the living word, okay, to come to a place of having a transformed heart capable of understanding. Of course, that goes without saying, you have to have a renewal of your mind based on your capacity to engage with the word of God, the change agent, you know. So I pray that we're not just hearers of these teachings and these words, but that we will move in faith into making sure that we, you know, really apply ourselves. So we knuckle down to do our due diligence, we apply ourselves, we take deliveries, we have these encounters, we're constantly in communion and fellowship, we're praying by the grace of God as often as the Lord gives us the enablement, building up your most holy faith. The Bible says praying in the Spirit, study to show yourself approved unto God, okay, a workman. It's your walk, it's your calling. There's an expectation that you will be a trailblazer. There's an expectation that you will be, you know, the head and not the tail. There's an expectation that you will be a sign and a wonder to your world. These things we have been studying is what will take you to bring that manifestation of that dimension of your personality. And I pray that the Lord will see each and every one of us through, in Jesus' name. So there are more things that Jesus desired to teach. Like I said, he says, howbeit when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, you know. So we see that, you know, also what to do, you know, and there are many other modules that must have continued, which time will not permit us to. But if you study specifically his mode of operation, now this is very important, that you come to know the teacher. No, they spend time with Jesus, but they will come to know the way and manner in which the Lord communicates to them through his Spirit, the way the Lord prompts them. You will hear a voice, turn to the left, turn to the right. You will hear his instruction. He will bring things to remembrance. So all of these are documented, but they need to come to know the model of operation of the Spirit and the process of yielding and trusting the Lord all through this process, you know, that you go through. So whatever that might be, your testings, your times, maybe you might be alone, at times when you think you're not hearing from God, he's promised, I'll not leave you or forsake you. Like somebody said, no matter what you are doing in your process, even if you get to a place where it's completely dry, it's complete, he says stay there. All right, your the quiet times are testing for you. Will you still continue? Will you still stay? Will you still pursue His presence? You know, the revelation of Him, in spite of how you may feel, in spite of your emotions, in spite of what maybe you're having supply of or lack of. Come what may, stay with the process, stay in that place, take delivery of that expected end. And faithful is He who has promised He will take you to that expected end. I just read a few minutes ago, we looked at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 1-5. You know, another unique journey of the many journeys that the disciples went on, you know, and others who traveled in maturing and growing spiritually, is really worth studying. The example of Apostle Paul, for example, in our conversation here, you know, when you look at his conversion, his journey started when he was Saul becoming Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, another journey. And it's interesting to take some time to study, you know, how his journey of conversion started and him coming to this place. He's going even to solitude in Arabia, you know, his personal encounter as documented in Ephesians chapter 3, which I just read a few verses here. So there's a lot of lovely people that we can glean from in terms of milestone. We've spent quite some time upon it, and we've come to this point where the baton is literally being handed over. He's having his last teaching with the disciples. He's giving them clear instruction that they follow through, and being obedient to follow through, they took delivery of the promise of the Father. My prayer is that we will not lean on our understanding, but we'll trust the Lord to empower us, to enable us. There's so much or so very little we can do without the enablement of the Spirit. And so we have to have our spiritual senses, the Bible says, exercise by reason of use. So it's not just accumulation of knowledge, head knowledge. Oh, I know that, I know the giftings. No, you are knowing about them, you're exercising your spiritual senses, you're exercising the eyes that have been opened, you're exercising the ears that have been opened, you're exercising your heart that is being transformed, and your mind that's been renewed in the Scripture. All of these changes have to be exercised, and the Bible says, them who by reason of use. So you are empowered with spiritual giftings, spiritual senses. They need to be exercised by reason of use, so that you are able to be sensitive, to discern wherever we are, to know what season you are in, where you are in the scheme of things, what it is that God wants you to do as a witness to your world. And I want to just pray, Father, everyone that has said in their heart that they want to really come to this depth of maturity, He said that we might all come to the unity of the faith. You know, come to the unity of the faith and to the stature of the mature man, Jesus Christ. Jesus went through His own process, and He went through different stages of cultivating, developing His giftings, His capacity spiritually. And He is our example. So if He took the lead, if He went through the process, if He followed through in meeting the requirements of the Father and was able to come back to the Father in John chapter 17 to say that, you know, the ones you have given to me, I have handed over the capacity for them to give expression to the glory. It says, for whom He did foreknow to be predestined, that they might come to the knowledge of that glory that must be revealed. You know, and I pray that the Lord will take you to that journey. You become vessels that will give expression to the power, to the authority, and to give expression to the glory that must be revealed in you, to your world, and to those around you. And I pray that the Lord will help you to be consistent. The Lord will help you to be disciplined. The Lord will reveal by the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom, bring you to a place of understanding the one that you are fellowshipping with, that you might come to know Him. For everything that we are going to become is based on the degree to which we know Him. You only know Him to the degree you spend time with Him. So He said that we might come into His presence, you know, and we might yield ourselves to His process. The Lord help us. The Lord enable each one of us in Jesus' name to come through that process to get to where we ought to be. You know, so lovely people, it's been another another interesting time in, you know, this session, looking at the milestones. And as you go to fellowship, you know, in your different churches or assemblies, remember why we have the season of the ascension, the season where we celebrate Pentecost, and let's remember why that season came upon us, you know. And so as we round up, yes, we pray, I really pray, Lord, let each one have an encounter with you. Let each one come to that place of knowing that you are faithful who has promised. And as you did it for Jesus and you did it for the apostles, you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So lovely people, till we meet again, take care. God bless you. Enjoy your Sunday. And I pray that God's grace will be abundantly, you know, dispersed in your direction to favor your righteous cause. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Bye for now.
Bow before your throne, and